Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Heavenly Father, as we come to look at your word, may we open our hearts, our minds, and our lives, not only to worship you, not only to proclaim your holy name, but to learn and be inspired by your word too. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Two figures from this week. 108 years. And the second figure, 111 years. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? 108 years and 111 years. It's 108 years since the Chicago Cubs won the World Series in baseball. 108 years. And they won it this week. More importantly, from an Irish perspective, in 111 years, Ireland have never beaten the All Blacks. 111 years. I was wondering during the singing of the first song why my voice is so hoarse at the beginning of a Sunday morning. Normally, it's hoarse towards the end of the Sunday morning. And then I realised it probably had something to do with shouting at the television last night. When I'm watching sport, I'm roaring and shouting. I'm glad there's no cameras like Gogglebox in the rectory, because I was shouting at the referee to blow the whistle, and I was shouting in celebration as Ireland, for the first time, coincidentally, in Chicago, beat the All Blacks. Both teams must have wondered, would it ever happen? Both teams must have wondered, would they ever have their day? Both kept believing, kept going until achieving that great success. Patient endurance. Patient endurance. Those are the words that I want us to bring with us into the next installment of our journey through the book of Revelation. Patient endurance. At this point, we are three quarters of the way through the book. We've just two more left in the series. And when we left off last week in Revelation 12, we had read about an uprising in heaven, a great battle in heaven, in the heavenly realms, where Satan, a rebellious angel who wanted to be where God was, i.e. seated sovereign on the throne and adored by all of creation, had gathered an army around him and had tried to overthrow God. But we read last week that the revolution was unsuccessful. His attempts to overthrow God was defeated, and he was cast to earth. Predictably, Satan was angry, and in whatever way he can, we are told, will lead people away from God. Essentially, Satan engages in a spiritual warfare for the hearts, for the minds, and for the lives of men and women. Satan does not want people to enjoy that close relationship with God. And then if we read on a little bit, just the link between chapter 12 and chapter 14 that we read today, John records for us some of the ways that Satan uses to gain a foothold in the world. At the beginning of Revelation 13, John talks about a beast that comes out of the sea that is given power to rage against God's holy people. Again, I spent some time in the Bible commentaries this week, and they suggest that this represents the misuse of political power. The misuse of political power. And as we look through history, even today, we can see that, can't we? We can see how Satan can use corrupt political power to his own end to bring suffering and injustice into the world. Unfortunately, it's one of the marks of history, corrupt political power. Then in the second half of Revelation 13, John tells us about another beast. And it's so filled with symbolism, Revelation. But he talks about another beast coming out of the earth. And the symbolism is fascinating, because John tells us that it looks like a lamb, but it sounds like a dragon. Looks like a lamb, but it sounds like a dragon. Again, turning to the commentators, they say that this speaks of the deception of Satan. It looks like Jesus, the Lamb of God, but it very definitely is anything but. Again, the commentators tell us that this represents those who appear to come in the name of Jesus, but actually have a very different agenda. Or even those who have false ideologies, false religions in the world, who sound and look like they are doing something that is reflective of Jesus, but actually, in a very real sense, are very different. And again, as we look back through history, we only need to think of someone like Hitler in Germany, to think of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, or today, to think of folk like ISIS in the world, who bring such destruction and misery, often in the name of religion. All that we have read about today also has a real impact on Christians. As we think about the world and its ever-moving ideologies, we realize that it's difficult to be a Christian in the world, is what Revelation implies and teaches. And again, we need to look no further in our world than places like Syria, which show just how hard it is to be a Christian. Many are persecuted today for their faith. Many today are persecuted for what they believe, because other ideologies dismiss the Christian faith, dismiss Jesus. Even in our own lives, we find that it is hard, even in the routine things, to stand up. To stand up against the world's ideologies and to be faithful to what the church teaches. But as we come to Revelation 14, again, John reminds us, as we hear again and again through the book of Revelation, that Satan's days are limited. That Satan's power is limited. He is a defeated enemy. At the start of Revelation 14, John reminds us that Jesus already looks over the earth and already sees what it is that his people bring. Verse 1 of Revelation 14, this is what is written. 144,000 who had his name and his father's name are written on their foreheads as Jesus stands on Mount Zion and looks before him. For me, as we think about the spiritual battle in the world, as we think about being God's people, this gives us a real sense of a personal nature of God. 144,000 is just a symbolic number to mean all of God's people. Let me put this into, I hope, a kind of accessible analogy. In 4 or 5 months from now, in our countryside, our fields, or many fields, throughout this community, this land, will be filled with lambs jumping, a great sign of spring and new life. But as the lambs are sent out, the farmer marks them with his own colour, his own mark to know which lamb, which sheep is his. Likewise, in a spiritual sense, what John is saying, that each believer is marked out. Each person who trusts and follows Jesus is marked with the mark of the Lamb to show how precious, to show that they belong to God, to show that they are part of new life. Think about that for a moment as John communicates that each believer is marked personally with the mark of the Lamb. Think about what that means today and the assurance that it brings. And it's also significant because John reminds us that despite Satan's best efforts, still today many turn to and trust in God. The people of God will never be defeated. And as we come to our passage again, follow along. I know it's taken a little while to get to today's passage. But as we get to our passage, John builds on all of this symbolism through Revelation 13 and the start of 14. And as we get to our passage, we read about three symbolic angels. These verses, including what we've read today, again represent a recurring theme right from here to the end of Revelation. Before the final victory, and there will be a final victory when Jesus returns, the church must continue to stand up to Satan, must continue to spread the gospel message through persecution and suffering, through opposition and challenge, through evil and corruptness, through false prophets, through false teaching, through false ideologies. Christians, the church, believers, must continue, and read quietly with me verse 12, must continue to show patient endurance, keeping his commands and remaining faithful to Jesus. Patient endurance. Despite what we see in our world, in our land and in our communities, we must remain faithful to Jesus. We must keep going until the final victory comes with the return of Jesus. As I've said, it's really hard to be a Christian in the world today. The pressure is to conform and to go with the crowd, to go with what the latest notion in the world is. But if we call ourselves a Christian, if we call ourselves a follower of Jesus, we are called to show patient endurance. And then John in verse 13 gives an insight to what awaits those who bear God's mark, who remain faithful, who show patient endurance as followers of Jesus. And these are words that we often use at the end of a funeral service. It says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, from their deeds will follow them." They will rest from their labor. Their deeds will follow them. As we show patient endurance as followers of Jesus today, even in death, we will be rewarded with eternity with God. And then as we finish off the passage, there is a parallel in verses 9 to 11. John writes that just as many are marked with the mark of the Lamb, there also are many who bear Satan's mark as well. And they will also face God's wrath and judgment. Now, I find this very reassuring. Let me tell you why. Well, I look at so much evil in the world, and I wonder sometimes, how come so many who do so many evil things seem to get away with it? Never seem really to get their comeuppance. But this verse reminds me and us that those who deliver such evil will also have their day before God, and they will suffer the consequence. Maybe the comeuppance will not come in this life, but it will come in eternity. Listen to what John writes, and he doesn't hold back. Verse 10, "They too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb." Evil will have its day before God as well. So as we finish this chapter, I find all of it very fascinating. I've gone through it very, very quickly. But for me, it begins to explain a lot about our broken world. It begins to explain a lot about our hurting world where we began the sermon series with. Satan is very real and destructive. He is a presence in our world. He spreads corruption and lies and evil and hurt wherever he goes. But as the people of God, we remember that this is only temporary. The victory will always be in the name of Jesus. In time, Satan and his followers will get their comeuppance. But until then, we are called to stand firm. Until then, we are called to keep believing, to keep trusting God until Jesus comes, or we too receive our heavenly reward. So the two words that we bring with us today are the words patient endurance. Keep going, keep believing, keep being faithful, keep standing up for what is everlasting and true. Patient endurance. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we see from this passage so much reflected in our world. Corruption, deceit, false teaching, false ideology, which we know are marks of Satan, which bring hurt and pain and suffering. But as the people of God, we have a different message, a message of goodness and light and life, a message of forgiveness, a message of reward and eternal life. We are thankful that if we follow Jesus today, we are marked by his mark, which brings the reward that is precious to us. So help us as we live our lives in this community to stand up for what is true and right. Help us to keep going, to show patient endurance, now and always. Amen.